Sunday school this morning, I taught young people from Psalms where David says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Three times, cast down, cast down, cast down. I tried to encourage young people to understand that he said, because my enemy said this, I was cast down. The outside force cast him down, encouraging them not to go on the internet all the time and just be constantly, you know, where is now thy God, was what David said, and it would cast you down. And then David said, my answer was, his countenance shall be the health of my countenance. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Some of you just get your eyes off of that stuff and off of the world and off of this and some person. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's not just a hymn. It's a great, great truth. Pray for the Collins family. Sean Collins passed away on Friday, went home to be with the Lord. And so pray for the whole family, would you? I think Alicia's up there in Kentucky during this time. Matthew 16, notice again. In verse 5 of this text, the disciples, our Lord's disciples, sort of dropped the ball when it came to the day's activities. And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now, folks, everybody knows that when you're going out to sea, and then later you're going to disembark on another shore, the one thing you better make preparation for is food. And especially so in the first century, there are no McDonald's, no 7-Elevens, no Chick-fil-A's, closed on the Sabbath in those days. Every traveler carried his food with him. But on this journey, you'll notice that verse 5 says they had forgotten. They had forgotten to take bread on a ship. Now, we know that they had some bread, or could have had some bread, because of what had happened in verse 37 of the previous chapter when it says that they had seven baskets. Seven baskets of leftovers. So that it's not that they couldn't have taken some bread, it's just that they forgot about it. And by the way, the fact that they forgot is apparently on their minds. And it's on their minds a lot. And we know that because when the Lord starts teaching about the leaven of the Pharisees, they assumed it's to call them out for forgetting about the bread. Verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven was like a starter in those days. And they didn't have powdered yeast. It was a starter. And it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, that's because we have taken no bread. No, it's not. In other words, they're bothered and feeling a little guilty about all this. Matthew, did you get the bread? No, I forgot. Maybe James did. And James says, no, why didn't John remind me or whatever? But they forgot about it. And then they fretted. And you know, that's when they endure one of the most pointed and personal rebukes ever from the Lord Jesus. Verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000? And how many baskets ye took up. Neither the seven loaves. That's another time he fed the multitude. Of the 4,000. And how many baskets ye took up. Oh, ye of little faith. You know, that's a strong medicine from someone that you love. That's a strong rebuke from someone that you really, really want to please with your heart. And that's not all. Verse 11. How is it, Jesus said, how is it possible that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, physical bread? Understand what, Pastor? What lessons did our Lord fully expect his disciples to learn from the miracle of loaves that fed multitudes with plenty to spare? Well, it's the same lessons he fully expects us to learn. And not only from the text, beloved, but from the same faithfulness and the same bounty and plenty that the Lord supplies to us in a thousand different ways. Let's pray. Father, please help us today. There are distractions in people's minds, and there may be separation in people's hearts from you and your word and your will and your spirit, and I ask that all would be removed, sins confessed, distractions, Lord, given to you. Please help us to focus now on what the Spirit hath to say to the church. And we'll praise you for that. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus today. In his name we pray. Amen. One of the things that you have probably noticed recently, if you shop at Publix and elsewhere, is how much candy and food from the Christmas season has been set aside on that clearance table as leftovers from the holidays. You know, at first it's 30% off, and then it's 50% off, and now it's like 70% off in the second week of January. And of course, it's nothing you want. It's off-brand fruitcake or eggnog-flavored popcorn. I saw turkey and gravy-flavored potato chips, if you're interested in that. I don't know why that didn't sell out during Christmas. I'm curious, anybody here still have Christmas food left over from green ham, and Andy's answering, green ham and moldy cranberry sauce from Christmas? How many of you still have your Christmas tree up? Oh, slackers. In our text this morning, the Lord Jesus uses the anxiety and the fretting of his disciples over food to remind them and all of us what are truly powerful lessons for this new year. He says in verse 9, do you not yet? Do you not yet at last understand? Neither remember. Now, folks, for the next few moments, we're going to remember, and prayerfully, we're going to understand. Think about it. The disciples didn't just forget the bread. Jesus said, I don't care about that. They forgot the lessons of the bread. And what lessons? Well, the first, the most obvious one, number one, is a lesson about abundance. Notice again what Jesus emphasized twice, the last part of verse 9, and how many baskets ye took up. Do you not remember or understand the last line of verse 10, and how many baskets ye took up? In other words, have you forgotten, Jesus said, have you forgotten that I not only provide for my own, but I provide more than enough for my own? Therefore, do you not understand that instead of being fearful right now, as you are, or fretful, you really ought to just be grateful? Chapter 15, across the page, verse 36, and Jesus took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and break them. Now, let me ask you again, what is the significance about Jesus giving thanks and being grateful at this point? We mentioned it last week in this very pulpit. It's simple, beloved. He was grateful before it was a feast. He gave thanks when it was 7 biscuits, not 7,000 biscuits. He gave thanks when it was still small. Everybody else probably did when it was miraculous and it blew their minds. And yes, beloved, we ought to remember the lessons of these baskets, because we live every day, we wake up and go to bed every day in a world of abundance. We are abundantly blessed as a people. Pastor, should I be filled with guilt about that? No. But we should be filled with gratitude about that, and we should trust him. Because of that, Jesus said, you should be trusting me. You know, yesterday I put in a chuck roast in our crock pot at home because, you know, in 8 or 10 hours, it's glorious. And while I was at the store buying the stuff for this chuck roast crock pot thing, I decided that I was going to be lazy. So I just bought the little vegetables, you know, the little baby carrots and the little tiny potatoes. And then I didn't think about this, I was going to buy a big onion, but I hate cutting up those onions. It's just too much. It's overwhelming. And I saw a small bag of little, almost like pearl onions. And I thought, man, that's perfect. So I'll put that in, until I got to preparing this thing. And I didn't realize you have to actually peel those little things like this. I can still smell them on my fingers right now. No joke. And don't text me and say, Pastor, there's a remedy. Soak it in vinegar and baking soda, boiling water. I don't care. I still smell it. But it was way worse than just getting an onion and chopping it up. And I mean, tears are streaming down my face. I kept quoting, you know, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I did reap in joy later. But after about 6 or 7 of these things, I was done with them. I was just done. I cried more tears than all the Penn State and Longhorn fans combined. The problem was, I look in that little bag and there's still 3 or 4 little baby onions left over. So what do I do? Are you ready to judge me right now? Because, yeah, I threw them away. Now, what else am I going to do? I'm going to let them sit there and rot because I'm never going to use them again. Give them to my neighbor so he can cry and hate me for it. So I threw them away. And don't text me and tell me, Pastor, here's what you could have done with all of those little onions. I'm fine. But as I did think about, wow, the abundance of our lives. The fact that I could even buy little vegetables to make it easier to make my chuck roast in a pot. And I thought about the abundance. I thought about a couple of celebrities that were interviewed in the Palisades and were asked, did your house burn down? And two of them I heard say, well, one of my houses did. One of my $20 million homes. The abundance of our society and our country. You know, there are probably 5 billion people in this world right now who wouldn't think to throw away 3 tiny little onions. It would be a big part of their meal. And there might be a couple in here who wouldn't think about it, but that's just because you're cheap. You don't have to. But I'll say it again. As we have said it multitudes of times from this pulpit, it is not wrong to be blessed. It is not wrong to be blessed with abundance. What's wrong is not being grateful, which leads to not being trustful. Did you notice how this entire story began? It begins in chapter 15 in verse 32 with the word compassion. You ought to underline it or circle it. It begins with Jesus looking out, and the Bible says he had compassion on these people. In other words, to paraphrase, our Lord is too good to be unkind. He is too wise to be unmistaken. He is too powerful to be unable. So whenever your path is unclear and you cannot see his hand, always trust his heart. Always you can trust the character of God. Psalm 68, 19 says, blessed be the Lord, that means praise be God, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Notice the 3 words in that text, daily, loadeth, benefits. Well, Pastor, I don't see any daily loading of benefits that I'm grateful for. Really? Maybe you're not looking. You know, when I left for Bible college in 1976, Homer Wall and my co-laborers at WW Lumber gave me some going away presents. They actually tried to get me to stay there and work for the company, but they gave me some going away gifts, and I was 18 years old, and one of those was wrapped up, and I opened it up, and it was an electric blanket. And I remember thinking to myself, that's a white elephant. This is a gag gift. I didn't even want to take it with me all the way to Chicago, but my mom insisted. And so I put it away, and I kept it away that fall for most of it, and then December hit. And the great blizzard of 1978. Anybody remember that? The great blizzard. It snowed here in West Palm Beach that year. But up in Chicago, it snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed and was so cold, and I fell in love with that blanket. I wanted to take it to class with me and look for a place to plug it in anywhere. I had blessings, I had them, that I took for granted. I had gifts that I didn't realize were blessings and gifts until I needed them and used them. I was thinking this week, you know what the third world doesn't have? Storage units. We pay to put stuff away until we might need it again someday. People pay. You know what the third world doesn't have? Attics. They're lucky to have a shelter. They don't have attics where they can store, you know, other stuff, or they don't need the second or third or fourth one. When Louise and I got married, we got 6 crock pots as wedding gifts. 6. It got to where, like, number 4, we're like, I know what that is, all same shape. They were big in 1970, 1980. So what'd you do with them all? Hey, we had young friends who were going to get married the next 3 or 4 years. Yeah, every one of them got a crock pot. One of them said, didn't I get this? No, no, no. The one you gave us, we still have. Abundance, he daily loadeth us with benefits. Yeah, sometimes we just don't see. I remember when Hurricane Jean came in 2004, and we had been without power for 3 days. 3 days. I thought it was the end of the world. But it's not that long, really. Except that on the third day, you know, the situation of people not having coffee in North Palm Beach Heights was affecting my neighbors greatly. It looked like, I mean, people were outside walking because it was hot. No air conditioning, no power, nothing. So people walked the neighborhood a lot. And it looked like the zombie apocalypse with people. And Louise was our coffee drinker, coffee zombie. So I decided that I was going to take a can of Sterno that I had. And I was going to heat up some bottled water in this little pot and then get it hot as I could and pour it over coffee grounds to make this, you know, like a makeshift filter, paper towel. And you know, as crude as it was, I could have sold that stuff in the Heights for $20 a cup. The first Starbucks right there in the North Palm Beach Heights. The point is this, if your eyes are open, even the smallest provisions you get in everyday life, all of those are tokens of God's goodness, and they are reasons to both trust Him, as the text says, and thank Him. You know, when our Lord mentions the many baskets in both of these occasions, the leftovers from these two miracles, I've often thought about whoever it was that ate those leftovers in the days ahead, because if nothing else, every time they would eat those leftovers, it should be a reminder. It should be a reminder to them, utilizing all five senses, of the faithfulness of God. Touch, taste, smell, sight. And for good measure, I imagine eating that food that you saw the Lord multiply, it affects your hearing because you heard Him say, thank you. You heard Him thank and bless the Father for them, a lesson of abundance. Some time ago, I read a fascinating book on cultural expansion over the centuries. And in one little part of that book, I'll never forget reading about how he describes it even in the 18th century. And all of the centuries before that, there were entire civilizations. There were millions of people, entire people groups who had lived their lives and they died. And throughout their lives, they had never seen or tasted scores and scores of just food that today we enjoy anytime we want. In other words, millions of people lived and died, and they never saw or smelled or tasted a peach or watermelon or chocolate. How tragic is that? They had never seen or tasted ice cream. Millions upon millions of people. Now, no, that's a little thing. Look, I've never tasted Marmite. Marmite is that British product made from yeast extract. I'm told it tastes like rusty nails. I don't know. It's the same with their cousins in Australia. They eat that Vegemite stuff. I've never had it. But I can. It's in Publix. If I wanted it. The supply, the bounty that we have in our worlds, even though I've never, ever had it, I can perfectly go down and get it. We have, as the psalmist said, more than heart could wish. And it is all just a reminder that God has been very, very good to us, both in abundance and in variety. How in the world can a child of God go into 2025 not trusting and doubting your God of provision? A lesson of abundance, it leads us to the second thing in the text, which is number two, a lesson of assurance. Assurance. You'll notice chapter 15, verse 33. It says that the disciples were with the Lord Jesus, quote, in the wilderness. See that? Well, you'll also notice in verse 39, it says that they left that wilderness. You see that? Where did they go when they left the wilderness? The wilderness is no place to be. You don't have food. But it says when they left the wilderness, they went out on the water. That is the very same water previously that terrified them with a great storm. So that, you know what? Always and everywhere, the followers of Jesus were in need of assurance. And always and everywhere, God met them with that assurance. I am reminded on this beautiful, peaceful Sunday morning that for all of my 66 years on earth, By the way, did you notice that? 66 years, not 67. I'm not 67. I'm not 6. There are people in here who are 67. I'm younger than you. 68? Yeah, I'm 66. Just keep that in mind. But for all of my 66 years, looking back, as we say every year, every month at Men's Prayer Meeting, God has been faithful. Well, why am I going to worry about the next year or the next one? Back in November, Andy pulled out a bunch of old Thanksgiving Day bulletins so that we could compare them and plan for this year's 2024's Thanksgiving Day service this past year. And one of them on the back, some of you old timers may remember, we had a compilation. You know how they do spaghetti models? Hurricane track? But we had a compilation of all of the hurricane paths of that year. And all of them went right at us in a way, right at us in a way. All went out into the Atlantic. And it reminded me of something that we noted about Hurricane Matthew in 2016. That year, we were barely spared. We were barely spared the ravages of Matthew because it stayed out just 30 miles, just enough that it didn't harm us. But it didn't spare the Bahamas. So at that Thanksgiving service way back then, I read a letter from our then missionary family, the Lowe's. He sent out an email early in the morning of October 5th as Matthew was bearing down on them. They were predicting 10 to 15 foot storm surges. And so here's what he wrote. The house is boarded up, and I've put an axe and a battery-powered saw in the attic for a worst-case scenario. The power will be off soon. Pray for our safety and for the dear people of the Bahamas. And yet they got a direct hit. And they did lose power for a long time. But thanks be to God, Jason did not have to use that axe. He didn't have to break up the roof. And I remember that was a very special Thanksgiving for all of us here at Beacon. But here's the question. Here's the question. Do we have to? Do we have to barely miss a Category 4 hurricane to be thankful to God and to trust in His protection? Do we have to not need to use an axe on the roof to recognize that God is our protector? There's an old Scottish hymn titled, "I to the Hills Will Lift Up My Eyes." It says, "O where shall come my aid? My help is from the Lord alone, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy faithful keeper is the Lord, thy shelter and thy shade. Neath sun or moon, by day or night, thou shalt not be afraid." In Sunday school, I was teaching the young people on anxiety. We don't remember all that anxiety in my high school days. We just don't. But there's so much of it today. And so much of it because their eyes, their heart, their ears are filling in stuff that has nothing to do with the face of Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We see that, number one, there's a lesson of abundance. Number two, a lesson of assurance. And then finally, number three, you'll notice there's a lesson of atonement. Look at chapter 16 again, would you, in verse 16. This is the same conversation. "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Can I ask you a question? How did Peter know that truth? Well, folks, in part because of the loaves and the leftovers demonstrated the very power of God. Now look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Notice that again, killed, yes, raised again the third day. I noticed how Joe Rogan the other day said, "Well, what do you believe about the resurrection? Do you believe it's a story? It's a story of hope. It's like it wasn't real, literal resurrection." All of these guys, Jordan Peterson, they all have trouble with that one fact. Is it literal? Did a guy really die, a man who claimed to be God, and then rose again the third day? Or is it metaphorical? No, beloved, he rose again. He died, and he rose again. Because he is God. And so Jesus says, look, from this time forward, from this miracle on, Jesus started showing his disciples, I'm going to die. I am going to be buried. and I am going to rise again. So that, in other words, look, when the Lord Jesus talked about those leftovers and said, don't you understand? Oh, ye of little faith, don't you understand? That question was far deeper than most of them at this time ever realized. They didn't understand yet that all of his miracles, that all of his wonders, all of the abundance and the assurance for them had a greater eternal purpose beyond that immediate. It is why never did our Lord Jesus work miracles or heal the sick out of mere whim or for some people's entertainment. Never was it some temporal, momentary thing. He showed his disciples, this is the power of God. This is part of my eternal plan. And you're a part of that same eternal plan. And folks, that is glorious. Some of you may remember at the Met in New York City, a while back, a lot of very wealthy opera fans dressed in their formals, as they were wont to do, their tuxedos, had to be quickly ushered out of a performance of Rossini's Guillaume Tell. The counter-terrorism unit of the NYPD came in because of a white substance that was sprinkled over the orchestra pit. I mean, anthrax? Back in those days, remember, that was a thing, and Rice and people were terrified. Turns out that some genius actually sprinkled the ashes of his late opera mentor, his boyfriend, during the performance. And that's what they had all over them. You know, that's, it was that. Rossini's opera is actually about William Tell, which includes opera lovers like myself know this great song from The Lone Ranger. Maybe that's what was playing. Ashes were being spread. All I know, when I read the article, there were some very angry, when they found out, there were some angry millionaire New Yorkers that night. And one of them said, this has ruined my entire year. I mean, I read it, but that's how I heard it. Their entire year? Their whole year? I guess if your entire life is about opera and high society as a socialite, then yeah. But for me, had I been there, I'd be like, you know, I'm done, I'm out, see you, peace out, I'm gone. It wouldn't ruin my day. Folks, look, what Jesus did twice in feeding the multitudes, we're talking about from that time forward, showing them what he would do as their Messiah and as the Savior. What he did twice in this miracle was actually fulfill a prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah 55:1 is a messianic invitation. Come ye. Come ye that hath no money. Come ye and eat without money and without price. This is an offer of grace. And how much grace is it? Abundant grace. More and more and more. Come ye, he said. It was a picture of his great offer of salvation and redemption and heaven itself. Because you know what? Verse 21, he did suffer many things. He was indeed rejected of the chief priests exactly like he told them he would be. He was killed. And after 3 days, he did rise again. And today, he is still bringing many sons to glory. The question is, are you one of them? Are you one of them? You know, we said 2 weeks ago that to not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is to reject him. There's no middle ground with God in this. You either accept the gift of his Son, he sent his Son to die for you, or you're rejecting him. I've always loved the 5 opening lines to the hymn, One Day. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day the grave could hold him no longer. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. Living he loved me. Dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. And God's people said, amen. Our heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed. J. Wilbur Chapman wrote that hymn for D.L. Moody as he reminded people that God has always had an eternal purpose and plan, and he does for you and me. One of the great lessons of the feeding of the multitude is that it was simply a part of God's ongoing plan to redeem people to himself. And those who are redeemed are admonished strongly to trust him and to be grateful to him because of that trust. Pastor Blaylock, I'm here today, and I'm a Christian, and I know that, but as a child of God, I needed this reminder today. I needed this message, something in the text and the Word of God. Maybe the music, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Pastor, I'm saved today, but I needed this reminder. Who would say that with heads bowed, eyes closed? Would you lift your hands to the room, and God bless you, and amen. Hey, be thankful for the daily benefits, the daily benefits. You're loaded with them, and so am I. Because when you're thankful for them, you're trustful. You recognize that he's taken care of you so well. He's going to continue taking care of you until he takes you home. That should be your life's testimony. Pastor, I'm here today and I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I've ever accepted Lord Jesus Christ as my hope for heaven. Look, folks, he didn't come from heaven. One day heaven was filled with his praises. Yes. But he didn't leave that place, come down to this earth, live a perfect sinless life, and suffer and die for nothing. He did it for your sins. Not so that you would give him something, your church attendance or your money. That won't buy an inch of heaven. It's so that you would receive something, the gift of eternal life. Pastor Blaylock, that's me. If I died today, I don't know for sure I'd be in heaven. I won't come and embarrass you, but I'd love to pray for you. If that's you today, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just lift your hand up really quietly for a moment and put it down? God bless you, young man. Someone else? Ma'am, I see your hand. Yes, it's dear lady. Anyone else? Raise it up on my right. High enough where we can see you so we can pray for you in a moment. All right, we're going to pray. As always, and have a time of invitation. Brother Andy's here at the front if you need to speak with someone. Might be a public decision. Joining the church. We're going to be baptizing sometime in the future. Maybe it's to be baptized. Whatever God's speaking to your heart, obey his voice, won't you? But for all of us in this room, for all of us who are saved, walk out of those doors, into your car, wherever you're driving to, with a heart of gratitude. God should not have to send a fire or allow a fire into a neighborhood to cause us to look up and to be thankful that we don't have one. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for your word again, as always. And Lord, I pray we will learn all the lessons of the baskets of leftovers. And the glorious, most glorious lesson, Father, that it just continues your plan when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's a reminder of who we serve and who we will serve in heaven forever with glory and gratitude. For these who've asked for prayer, draw them to you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen.